popping up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there! It's appropriate right now, Gibbs, if you want to play It's a New Day, because it is a new day in the National Football League. Our mock draft, which we waited to do until this week, is already obsolete. Now, you did have the Rams making a trade.
I did.
You were right on the money there.
And I hope, in fact, that who I had them taking at number 8 in that trade with the Philadelphia Eagles is still who they take at number 1. Because that means who you have us taking at number 2 is spot on.
I certainly hope so as well. So here is what happened. According to, and now more reports are coming out, Titans GM John Robinson said he had multiple offers for the number 1 pick. The Eagles were one of them until they withdrew their offer earlier in the week, per a source. What does this mean? That means that there are teams that covet these quarterbacks. And obviously the Browns certainly are one of them. So basically what happened here is that the Tennessee Titans traded the number 1 pick in the draft. And if you recall, we're not tooting, but what was the one team that scared the bejesus out of me about going to that number 1 pick?
Los Angeles Rams.
Yes. Moving to LA, need to make a splash, and that's exactly what they did. Here is exactly what happened. The Titans have agreed to trade the number 1 pick of the 2016 NFL draft for the Los Angeles Rams. They get, in this draft, the 15th overall pick, the 43rd overall pick, the 45th overall pick, and the 76th overall pick. They will also receive the Rams' first round pick and third round pick in the 2017 draft. They now have 6 of the top 76 picks in the 2016 NFL draft. And this is another reason why it's so important to have that franchise quarterback. Tennessee Titans were able to get a haul because they had their guy and still ended up with the first overall pick, and now they got that haul. So what does it mean? Because we have heard multiple people say the Rams are leaning to Wentz. One of those people who has heard that is Jason Lockenfour. He will join us at 2 o'clock today. One of the many people, though, are hearing that it's going to be Goff. Mike Silver is one of those people that heard it's going to be Jared Goff. Many others have as well. So there's mixed information out there, and Peter King says the Rams don't even know who they're going to pick yet.
I've heard that as well.
Which to me sounds absolutely asinine. If you're going to mortgage the future, you can't say to me, I believe both of these guys are that can't miss. I just don't believe that any team that evaluates quarterbacks would feel that these two guys are both that can't miss. How would you do that if you don't know? Well, because they do know. That's why. I think they know exactly who they're going to take at quarterback. And I think we'll find out hopefully before the draft, but probably not. A lot of people.
If you hold on, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I don't feel cut off.
If the Los Angeles Rams select Carson Wentz, you thought the Cleveland Browns should be running up to the podium,
sprinting.
It is now an all-out, like Jaguar-like sprint to that podium to get the card in to take Jared Goff.
Yes. Well, you'd sit there and yes, but I would imagine we're going to listen to offers because if what this does for that number 2 pick. Is that...
Well, 3, 4, 5 most likely won't go quarterback.
But you know the Eagles are interested.
6 won't.
You know the Niners would
Correct.
Be interested. So there could be a little bit of a fight there because now it's clear that if the Browns stay there, at least I believe it's clear, if the Browns stay there, quarterbacks go 1-2. So the question becomes, what is the Browns board? What does this mean for them? Let's say that the Rams take... First of all, I'll back up. Here are the scenarios, right? They take Wentz... The Browns like Goff all along. They stay at 2. They take Goff. They're dancing in the streets. Okay. The Rams take Goff. The Browns thought Wentz was also a franchise quarterback. They stay there. They take Wentz. They're fine. They take Wentz or Goff, and the Browns believe that the other guy is not a franchise quarterback. That's when I think that the pick will be traded because they will find somebody who does believe that that pick has value and somebody wants it. Joe Banner had an interesting comment on Twitter today that said he believes if Goff is on the board at number two, that pick has much more value than if Wentz is on the board at number two.
I believe that 100% as well.
So,
what is it? But to edify your point on why you've been pro Goff since we've started this evaluation process is those that know football, unless you're by far and away in love with Carson Wentz and his size and that big arm and that upside, Jared Goff right now is the best quarterback in this draft.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I know you would.
Yes.
But I meant comments from Joe Banner, comments from other individuals.
From
a lot of scouts.
There
are coming out with those sentiments.
And Colin Coward had an interesting tweet that said, some people are, you know, finally, he said, Goff, what he's been hearing, and I don't know how plugged he in as an NFL insider per se, but this is what he said. Multiple sources. Goff is now capitalized the guy among teams wanting quarterbacks. Rams knew that, and they had to move up. He believes, as people from Fox believe right now, that they are taking, and Fox is in L.A., I don't know if that matters, but they believe that they are going to go ahead and take Jared Goff at number one. If that's the case, Nathan Zagura, putting on my GM hat, I'm finding whoever wants Wentz the most.
Looks nice on your head, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I do have a nice melon. It wears a hat, a small hat, not as big as yours.
What do you wear?
Like, basically.
Seven and a quarter?
No, seven flat.
Really?
Yeah.
Little.
I don't have a big hat.
I didn't say you did.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Okay.
It's narrow. It's good for swimming.
About 7.5, 7.625.
Yeah. I also don't have that beautiful hawk on the top of your head that you
That's
have.
That's true.
It is true.
You don't want to see me after I take off a hat. It's not pretty.
All right. So let's say they take Goff one. What are you doing if you're the Browns? And you can caveat. You can say, if I believe that Wentz is a franchise quarterback, I would do this.
Yes.
If I don't believe, I would do this.
I would say if the Cleveland Browns do think that Carson Wentz is in fact a franchise quarterback and say Goff was their number one and there wasn't a very large gap to Carson Wentz and he's still in your franchise quarterback category, the draft will go quarterback.
Correct.
If we do not, I think I don't necessarily go Jalen Ramsey at this point at two. I think Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, Paul D. Podesta, both the numbers and the strategies of the football minds would say, where can we go in this draft, gain more swings at the plate, and these are going to be, you know, difference-making swings at the plate, meaning an additional second and a fourth.
Those two twos. I wanted those two twos. We talked about it
that
yesterday.
That was the one spot.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Those two, to have two twos and to pick, in front of eight. Because, again, same thing. Seven players in this draft that I think are difference makers, two of them being quarterbacks, five other guys. I can't not have one of those difference makers. So I would trade back inside of eight and have my swing at the plate in the first round with one of those top seven players, and then gain the additional picks in this draft.
I think that's – so the way that I look at it, and again, at the end of the day, it is the Hugh World Order in Hugh and Paul and Sashi, I trust, Andrew Berry. So if they believe that Carson Wentz, if Goff goes first, if they believe Wentz is that guy, take him. You need a quarterback.
I still am big school, small school.
He's not your guy.
He's not my guy.
I don't think he's my guy.
And the legitimate reason is, haven't watched a whole lot of him, and that's going to be honest, I've watched a whole lot more Jared Goff, so maybe I'll watch more Carson Wentz, but I'm just in favor of big school talent over small school talent. And I think it's going to be a rougher transition for Carson Wentz, and the Cleveland Browns fan base is ready to win. Hugh Jackson's comments are that we're ready to win. Turn this thing around. I can't draft a guy second overall and have him sit. Even though it could possibly have, if RG3 beats out Jared Goff, if that's the guy, okay, rightfully so, we have both our immediate future and our future quarterbacks in a Cleveland Browns uniform, both under contract.
Yeah.
I don't want Carson. I mean, if you draft Carson Wentz number two, you have him in uniform as well. But I want a guy that has the ability to beat out RG3, and I don't think Carson Wentz is that guy.
I would agree with that statement, and I think that it's very interesting. Again, if what they think is ultimately what's going to matter here for the Cleveland Browns. But I would be at the point where if they took Goff off the board for me, what I'm looking to do is seeing if I can get five of the top 75 prospects in this draft as opposed to two of them. Or three of them, as I currently have.
That's what the Rams
that's what
did.
That's what I would want to do with that pick. So I would say, Philadelphia, you were interested in moving up to number one.
And they've already made a move to get into position to potentially move up again.
Absolutely.
As we talked last year with other teams, you know, contemplating getting up to get Mariota to the Titans.
Absolutely. I would. It's 49ers. What are you looking at? What I would put that pick up. And I think because at that point, at least it sounds like from everybody that I've talked to, the divide between in the evaluators, what I've been told is the divide between Goff and Wentz is large, but the divide between Goff, Wentz, and Paxton Lynch is Grand Canyon large.
Okay.
And so you have an opportunity with that first quarterback off the board. If you believe they're both franchise quarterbacks, I think the decision's done for you.
I agree.
You take the quarterback. If you don't, and the one that's left isn't a franchise quarterback, there you find the teams that believe that he is, and you make that trade. You make that trade, and you get as many assets this year, next year as you can. Because you look at that Titans team, they're going to add six of the top 76 players in this draft onto their team as just a mass infusion of talent. And for a team that had a lot of holes, that's going to help. But why can they do that? They've got their quarterback.
And I think you make this play because you know what's happening around you in your division. The Colts get Andrew Luck back, but they've got questions, you know, in that roster. The Houston Texans, you know, just gave Brock Osweiler a lot of money. They're not a shoo-in to win that division. The Jacksonville Jaguars are in a similar situation, maybe a year ahead of the Tennessee Titans, where they've got the quarterback, they've got Allen Robinson, they've gone running back, they've added defenders. They're going to be able to potentially add another, you know, pinnacle defender this year to get them to the 8-8, 9-7, 10-6 mark that will potentially win them this division. I think Tennessee's a year behind these guys. So, but in acquiring these assets, the pressure on the general manager for the Tennessee Titans to go 60% in these assets, you got to go get 4 out of 5 starters from those picks, those swings at the plate.
Absolutely.
Then you're talking compensatory picks and late round picks that end up turning out, and some of them wash out. That's just natural, you know, draft history in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think when we go through next week, because we're past this point, we're going to see this draft change a lot now following this trade. It's a big deal. Gibbs, what was your reaction when you heard this? Mine was part disbelief, part excitement when people were saying they wanted Wentz, and then part utter fear when they were saying, no, Goff is the guy.
The first thing I thought was, sweet, they moved to number one to get the California kid. That's exactly how this is going to go.
Ugh.
That's the first thing that came to my mind was, wow, all right, great. They're going to take Goff. Now what are we going to do?
I think at that point you trade. I mean, I don't know what our analytics, how they line up with what Andrew Healy did, who we heard from, but it just seems to me that there would have to be a significant difference in the two studies to produce a level where this organization would be comfortable taking Carson Wentz at number two.
I don't want Wentz.
Only want Wentz. If Hugh and Sashi and Paul want Wentz, I want Wentz because I feel like they're better at it than I am.
I'm not saying I'm not on board. I'm just saying
I want Goff. We all know. I like saying it because people ask me on Twitter all the time.
Problem.
Who do I like at quarterback? It's amazing. Still, I should just change my avatar to Jared Goff.
Here's my
me
issue.
Hugging.
My issue is, you've seen your blockbuster. You know what it's going to cost to move up. Who else in the draft wants to do that? Where are you going to find another dance partner?
Philly, San Francisco. I think there are dance partners out there.
But you're not going to get what the other guys got.
I don't know. You could look at it one of two ways. So. Hold on. Let me just tell you why I think you could look at it two ways. First way, in which I would agree with you, you won't get as much because that's already happened. Now, the reason, and so why don't you state your side, and I'll tell you why I think you could get maybe not the same, but close.
I think you can get picks. You're not going to get the same thing because I think the Rams were desperate. The Rams knew they needed to move up, and they were willing to do whatever it took to get to number one because they need a face of their franchise. if you're San Francisco or Philly, you're moving up six spots. It's not like moving from 15 to 1. You're getting the second best player. Maybe it's number one on your board, but it's the second best player in the draft if you look at it that way.
So the way that I would look at it and why it would have value is, let's say that there is a split in the NFL amongst the evaluations. Okay, let's just say that. I don't believe that there is, but it only takes one, right? It only takes one team to believe that Wentz is the top guy. Maybe it's the Rams, so then Goff's there. Then I don't think we have a discussion. But let's say that Goff goes first. Let's say that there are teams that do think Wentz is the guy. Let's say Philly thinks that Wentz is the guy, and they know, look, we've got Bradford, we've got Daniel. He can take his time here. We believe this is the guy for us long-term.
And he's not that expensive under the new CBA.
Correct. That would be the team. Because it's what's value? Supply and demand, right? That's what sets the market value. You have just lit by – now with this trade – you know for a fact you have limited the supply of quarterbacks one more time. It's down to one now. When the Browns go on the board at number two, there will be only one quarterback left that people seem to think is at that level. Only one. So if you don't make them an offer, they can't refuse. You have to assume that the Browns are taking that quarterback.
But here's my argument. It's not like St. Louis is a four-win team or a three-win team.
8-8, and they feel that they're – that's why I don't think they take Wentz, right?
That's exactly why I don't think. Everybody goes, oh, they're going to take Carson Wentz. I'm like, whoa, what? No.
So here I've tried to come up with the reasons why it could be Wentz. This is the only thing I can think of. Because I think Goff's more ready to play. I think Goff helps that team more. I think everything about Goff is better for that team. The reason I could see Wentz is they could say, look, what are we great at right now? Playing defense and running the ball with Todd Gurley. And maybe they think Wentz, with his ability to run and complement that back, poor man's Cam Newton, and they think that they can. Jeff Fisher wants to run the ball. Jeff Fisher's not a have your guy drop back and throw it 45
Correct.
Times a game coach. That just isn't who he is. You know, he had his most success with Steve McNair, who was a good passer. I know he's called Air McNair, but did a lot of different things. And maybe that's the model that they're looking at is the Carolina model, and they think a 1-2 punch of Wentz with Gurley and then utilizing play action is what's going to set things up for them. Because in reality, Jeff Fisher's not running a lot of shotgun spread.
Nope.
Right?
No.
So that would be the only reason that I could see them preferring Wentz as a stylistic fit for them. That's it. By the way, tip of the effing cap to Chris Collinsworth, who released his first ever mock draft that he's ever done now that he's an owner of Pro Football Focus. He did it 4 weeks ago in his first ever mock draft. He predicted this exact trade. Tip of the cap.
It's pretty good.
Tip of the cap. Scott and Shelby just asked me, who do you like at quarterback? Scott, I know you know the answer. Jared Goff. All right, I want to get your guys' reaction. We are going to get Goff the radio right now so we can pay the bills. When we come back, you see what I did there? When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. A lot to say. 216-578-0850. What does this mean? What does this mean? What do you want? What's your dream scenario now? Can we go out there? Can we start doing like, I think we need to get those billboards. Like, you know, Chick-fil-A has those billboards with the cows, like, eat more chicken.
Yes.
And we need to start making billboards. Like, California loves redheads, and, like, North Dakota, the California of the mid-Northwest.
No,
like,
thank you.
We need to do something. We need to guerrilla warfare. Goff.
Start a GoFundMe.
GoFundMe. And the proceeds will go where they deserve to go. That I can promise you. Anything donated to the Bring Goff to Cleveland will go to that. And only to that. All right, we'll be back with more CBD right after this.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's a new day. Yes, it is. Nathan Zgura, Jace Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm, 216-578-0850. I'm sure you guys got some reaction to what's going on right here. This is what my buddy Sonny the Dr. Wasco just said. We need Goff to fail a drug test. That's the only way he slides to two. We're effed. Spread the rumors now. None of Goff's teammates went to his birthday party. I would have gone.
Of course. With bells on.
Would you have gone?
No.
No. No. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Interesting tweet from Michael Silver. So a guy named Connor Letourneau says, seems very possible now that Jared Goff goes number one. Mike Silver comes back and says, he ain't going third, I'll tell you that.
This is true.
Now, however, Adam Schefter this morning on ESPN says he believes the Browns are not going to take a quarterback at number two. Here's that sound.
My sense, my reading, you never know what is actual fact at this time of the year. My read always has been that the Cleveland Browns were not taking a quarterback anyway, that they were going in a different direction, that they were open to moving back if they had to, that they didn't feel at this point that a quarterback was the right pick. So for all the people who think that the Rams leapfrogged the Browns, yes, they did in draft order, but I don't think this changes the Cleveland Browns' plans, believe it or not, based on what I've been hearing the last couple of weeks, that the Browns are not inclined to go in that particular direction.
Now, here's the
He would be the only person that says that is saying that.
Here's the other thing now, though.
Mike Silver's not saying that.
Pat McManaman just put out a story from ESPN.com that says Jalen Ramsey this morning on Mike, and Mike basically said, I've had no contact with the Browns, very limited. I'm not scheduled to go in for a workout, no meetings, no nothing. So clearly Ramsey's – that's not the direction they're going in. So
and I would bet my house and the farm that Carson Wentz lives on that this regime, after what happened reportedly with the way things went down with Justin Gilbert and the lack of meetings and the lack of contact, et cetera, that this regime would not make a pick without doing all of their due diligence.
I agree. Yeah. Of course.
That just
– you would hope.
That would – yes. That would blow my mind. I've never thought that. I thought all along, and this is just, again, my belief, that it's back. That's the word you need. Quarterback or trade back. Those are the options on the table for this organization. I think that if Adam Schefter is saying they're not drafting a quarterback, that says to me that either they believe that the only one of these guys is a franchise quarterback, and they believe that that quarterback is going ahead of them and it's out of their control.
But he said that it was, this is a rumor that was weeks ago, which would have been prior to this trade. I mean, it's very evident that the Rams are going to take a quarterback at number one.
Supposedly, from a couple people that texted me, supposedly everybody in the NFL seemed to think it was a foregone conclusion that somebody would trade to number one. They weren't sure who, but somebody was trading to number one to take a quarterback. They didn't know what the price would be, et cetera. You know, the other thing, too, I wanted to say is that the other thing I wanted to say is when you look at the trade and what the Browns would get, 15th is the farthest anybody's gone to go up to number one. So if you're looking at going from 8-2 like the Eagles, 7-2 like the Niners, 4-2 if it were Dallas, you're not going to get that same discrepancy. That was a massive amount of real estate they had to cover. So you'd get something similar from 2-8, I would imagine. You probably could squeeze a little bit extra out of it because it would be for a quarterback to what the Browns got in the Sammy Watkins deal.
Yeah.
Two ones, a couple mid-round picks as well. Not a bad thing for the Cleveland Browns. But again, I'm not sure that that is – we'll see what happens. I'm not sure that's going to happen as well. By the way, you remember when I brought up the story of Trent Dilfer on SI's podcast with Pearl? He'd be shocked if the quarterbacks didn't go 1-2 in the draft. That's what it is.
Everybody's calling their shot weeks in advance, and now we're hitting it.
Oh, man. We'll see. 216-578-0850. Bill in Pittsburgh. Bill, your reaction.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
All right. When I heard this morning, my reaction was disappointment, and I get the, you know, the just the feeling like we're a day late and a dollar short because Goff is the guy that I wanted, and when I thought about this, I just thought to myself, there is no way that a billionaire owner is going to allow his general manager to trade all of those picks when they're trying to establish themselves in a market that hasn't had an NFL team for 20 years, going to allow him to make that trade and take a guy from a 1AA program who's played a year and a half.
Don't forget, though, that it was Steve McNair from a small school,
Alcorn State,
that Jeff Fisher once hitched his wagon to. So I don't know that he would be that afraid of it, but it makes a lot of sense. California guy in California, et cetera.
Yeah, McNair was not the number 6 overall pick. This is the number 1 pick.
Correct. You are not wrong about that.
Big difference.
I want you to be wrong because I want them to take Carson Wentz.
I hope so. I want Goff. I called you guys a while back, and I've been a lot, if not to your extent, with Goff. But, I definitely want the Browns to get Goff, and I just don't see it happening now. Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate the call, Bill. Let's go to Brian in Akron.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
Oh, you guys are killing me with this quarterback pick at number 2.
What?
You're killing me.
Y'all, I'm glad that you're able to talk in such a state of death.
Okay, but I'm listening to everybody. Is it because Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. says that the Browns need to draft a quarterback that everybody thinks they need a quarterback?
I think they need to draft a quarterback because you haven't had one since 1999, and you should keep trying and trying and trying until you get one so that you can try to have some success.
Okay, how old is RG3?
26 years old.
Okay, he had one good year, and he hurt his knee, and he hasn't played, so he's healed. Why is it at a 26-year-old quarterback that showed that he has the potential to play, why can't he be our franchise quarterback?
He could be, and you may think that I'm crazy, but if you want to go back to 2014, Nathan Zagura, I would have taken a quarterback at 8 or 4. I probably wouldn't have traded out. I'd taken my favorite quarterback there. And I may have come back and taken a quarterback at 26 that year, too. Until you get this solved, you are not going to be competitive in the National Football League. So you need to get it solved. I believe in my own personal evaluation, you knew I loved Teddy Bridgewater. I think Jared Goff is a better prospect than Teddy Bridgewater. I like him better than my beloved Theodore. So I believe, I don't think it's a reach. I think Jared Goff has exactly what you need to be the guy. And so that's why I want him. I don't believe in taking a quarterback just to take one. I believe if you think they're a franchise quarterback, and I've said that, if you don't think it's a franchise quarterback at 2, what am I doing? I'm trading down. I'm not taking one just to take one.
Do you feel that these quarterbacks have the potential of a Peyton Manning or – I can say it was a Peyton Manning or somebody come out to take a quarterback at number 2. Why can't you take a quarterback in the second or third round and just get and fill the other needs you need on your defensive side, or get you a wide receiver or a corner or a safety or somebody can rush the quarterback?
I believe
at number 2.
I believe that Jared Goff has the potential to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And if you're a top 10 to 15 quarterback in the league, your team can win a Super Bowl with that, and you have the opportunity to be playoff bound every single year. And that's what we need here. We need to get to the dance. Starts with winning our division, then it starts with winning playoff games and getting there. I believe that he is that good.
Did you see Michael Silver's most recent tweet about speaking to Jeff Fisher?
No. What did he say?
He said that. He says, just had a long conversation with Jeff Fisher. We're not looking over our shoulders here. He told me we're building this team.
Look at the division that they are in. If you want to get to the playoffs ahead of the Arizona Cardinals and ahead of the Seattle Seahawks, you need a quarterback. You need to compete right now. That's why you don't take Carson Wentz to stardom day one. Quite frankly, Jared Goff at 21 years of age probably could use a little bit of time. That's why I think this is such a good scenario for him. But I could see him as being a guy that takes over week 4, week 5. By the way, Sonny, the doctor, took his campaign to social media. He's tweeted at the Rams, "I've heard none of Goff's teammates went to his birthday party." Oh, fantastic. All right, when we come back, more of your reaction, 216-578-0850. I mean, you know what's so crazy about the NFL, I'll just leave it this thought, is that I ended up staying up till like 1:30 last night, and I don't even like Kobe Bryant to watch what he did, and it was awesome. He was unconscious the last 5 minutes of the game. Finished with 60 points. I don't like him either, but what he did last night was remarkable. What the Warriors did yesterday. And is anybody talking about that? And the Warriors just set 73 wins. 73 wins they had. Whatever.
Football, baby. Football.
And did you see, I'm sure you saw this, Gibbs. Jeff Fish, this trade was made at 9:30 last night.
Yep. Yes. They held it off.
Because of Mamba Day.
Mamba out.
I hate the Mamba.
And then he's got t-shirts
so
that say Mamba out.
And gone. Goodbye.
Do you like Mamba's the candy?
You have to admit
that
what he did last night was special.
I don't care. Where was that the other 81 games?
It was almost as
you
if
were done 3
he
years
was
ago.
Infused with the ghost.
I'm so happy that the farewell Kobe Bean Bryant is over, that this guy is gone.
Me too.
Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you in the you-know-where. I'm tired of talking about him. Washed up. Should have walked away 3 years ago. Didn't. Okay, great. You had 60 points last night.
He made about $85 million in the last 3 years.
Yeah,
so
you won your championships.
I would have stayed too.
I'm not taking away from him as an all-time great, but I didn't need the whole year-long farewell tour.
So you're saying you enjoy Shaq's song about Kobe Bryant?
Yes, 100%.
Hmm. By the way, it's also Joe Hayden's birthday. Happy birthday, Joe Hayden.
Yeah, and also on top of that, speaking of predictions – Shaq predicted on TNT, I think a week or 10 days ago, leading up to this Kobe farewell, that he'd go for 50, and Kobe went for 60.
60! 60!
And what did Steph Curry finish with? Because I saw him at 46 at the end of the third quarter.
That's it. He didn't play in the fourth quarter.
46.
Unlike
10 three-pointers.
Unlike 20 shots, 24 shots.
Well, he had 10. He made 10 three-pointers.
Kobe took 50 shots. He attempted 50 field goals. He hit every shot down the stretch, though. He scored 17 points in a row at one point before he got the assist on that bomb for the dunk. He scored 17 of their last 19.
You think he was sandbagging this year?
Just to save up for this game?
Not just to save up for this game, but meaning like if he wanted to go for 24 a game or 26 a game.
No, he was bricking. He couldn't shoot.
That's what I mean. So how all of a sudden does he?
Because it was just like one of the – that's why it was one of those turn back the clock moments. How could Tom Watson – you remember the British Open that was at Turnberry? He was basically a two-putt away from winning the British Open because it's just magic. Sometimes it's just magic.
Okay. Well, it took him 4 days of magic. Kobe, one night.
One night of magic.
All right.
He can recapture it. He recaptured that glory. I thought it was cool, and I am not.
6 p.m., I still hate Kobe.
I am not a Kobe Bryant fan. All right. When we come back, more of your calls, more discussion, more discourse. Cleveland Browns Daily. ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, this is going to affect every team that thought they had a shot at one of the franchise quarterbacks, and teams like maybe the Cowboys at 4, who, if they didn't take a quarterback themselves, were maybe looking to trade with a team that wanted to move into that spot for maybe the number 2 quarterback in this draft. Now it seems like quarterbacks are likely to go 1 and 2.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. Obviously, the big news is, of course, the major trade. The Rams going from 15 to 1. The Titans turning Laremy Tunsil into 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds. 6 players for 1. So they picked up 5 players, basically,
and
by making this.
Kind of talking out loud, you know, you and I were discussing during the break, or at least, you know, I kind of brought it to your attention. Could the Rams now with assets, having 3 second-round picks, and truly evaluated the top 12 prospects extremely hard holding that number 1 overall pick, be in love and maybe make a move with somebody to get back inside the top 10, to give up the 15th pick and one of their second-round picks to get up to 10 or 9 and maybe a sixth, to get back in the top 10, take a guy, you know, and still get the pick of the litter and not settle for a guy on what falls in your lap at 15. Because to your point, as we've gone through our mock draft and we'll continue that, you know, in the second hour, is
sure.
10 to 40, as you've pointed out, are the same guy.
Yeah.
And now they have a pick. They have 3 picks in that, 4 picks in that same guy category. Could you give up 2 of those to get inside the top 10, draft 6, 7, 8, 9, and go get your game changer, which I've always said there's seven of those guys to me personally in this draft, and go get that guy, and then still have your swings at the plate because of not selecting number one overall.
So this is what I think. I think that it is certainly possible. However, if we know where John Robinson came from, before he went to this job, he was the director of college scouting for the New England Patriots. He is groomed in that school. So he is not naturally inclined to be a trade-up guy. I really think they're looking at and saying, we need help on the offensive line. We, instead of going and drafting Tunsil number one, what we've done now is at 15, we're going to maybe be able to get Conklin. We'll be able to maybe get Ronnie Stanley. We'll be able to get the guy from Ohio State, Taylor Decker. We'll get one of those left offensive linemen, one of those tackles. Plus, we've got two twos and a three this year. So this year, we're adding four players for one. And then next year, we get another one and a three.
How far, and it might not be very far if quarterbacks go one and two, how far does Laremy Tunsil fall? Could he fall to the Chargers at three?
So everybody's saying it's like people are like, he should start getting a realtor. He's going to San Diego. So this is going to change everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Because again, if the Chargers don't go Tunsil at three, the Cowboys won't take him at four. The Jaguars most likely with Jokel probably won't take him at five. The Ravens probably won't take him at six.
He's going three. Think about the issues that San Diego. Remember when we played San Diego? They couldn't even put offensive line out there.
Right.
I think he goes three. So the question becomes, what happens now? That means if you're looking at
Bosa, Buckner, Jack, Elliott,
Ramsey. Those guys could all go four
six,
to seven.
6 to 12, yeah. Yeah.
Elliott.
Right.
So now you have eight guys. So that's why if 7 or 8 49ers or Eagles truly coveted one of these quarterbacks, and the Browns at that point decided that the guy that was left was not a franchise quarterback.
Correct.
And they could make a move and pick up, say, a future one to do so, you're still going to get one of those guys and another player.
Yes.
Maybe even a couple more players.
Right. A third and a future first.
Man. Yeah.
It's what makes the next what?
Can it just happen already? Can we get to this draft?
What, 2 weeks from today.
Gosh, it seems like an eternity. 2 weeks from today. All right, let's go to Rocky in Hampton, Virginia. Rocky.
Hey, fellas. What's going on? Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
Happy Friday Eve. Hey, real quick, I just want to make a couple points, which I have made before. I just feel like we're kind of overly thinking this and trying to, you know, like I said earlier, get too cute. The one thing we can control and dictate is our pick, all right, which we have number two right now. Trying to move down and strategize and be, you know, we don't have the luxury of doing that because we don't know what other teams are going to do. We can assume what they might do, but the only thing that's guaranteed right now is we have that number two pick. And we can definitely choose our second-rated quarterback, if so. And I think everything starts with that. You guys just said it, and I agree 1,000,000%. After, you know, there's maybe 6 to 8 guys, and after that, there's nobody else. So why are we trading down just to get, you know, a crop of guys that's just that, a crop of guys? Stay at number two, get that quarterback, build around him. I mean, we have 10 picks. I mean, let's not get crazy. 10 is a lot, okay? So let's be smart about it. You know, I've said this again and again. Let's correct this. I mean, people are talking about next year in the draft. And if we
can't even think about next year's draft. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. We right now have a number two pick. Let's go ahead and stay with this pick and get our guy. And please, management, let's start putting weapons around him, all right?
Yes.
Everybody wants to be Belichick and do all that thing, that type of stuff he does. We're not Belichick. We don't have his scouts. Let's stay in, you know, where we're at and get the guaranteed sure thing. And, guys, I appreciate it. Take your comments off the air. Have a good day.
Bye. You got it. Thank you, Rocky. Unfortunately, there are no sure things. Again,
I was going to say that.
If they believe that these two quarterbacks are both franchise quarterbacks, it's easy for the Browns. You take the one that's left. It may be that end up being the top guy on your board. It may be the second guy on your board. But if you believe they're both franchise quarterbacks, I think it's a pretty simple scenario for you. Where it gets interesting and not cute is if you don't believe the one quarterback that is left is a franchise quarterback.
All right. Lance Zierlein has just released his most recent mock draft.
I saw that.
Okay. And I'm just going to run off the top 10 really quickly. Carson Wentz, number one overall to the St. Louis Rams. Number two to the Cleveland Browns, Miles Jack. Ramsey, three to the Chargers. That's why I discussed Laremy Tunsil. Jared Goff to the Cowboys, who've stated they are not in the quarterback category. Laremy Tunsil to the Jaguars.
Read his comment. Read his comment on that one.
On which one?
Just click on Laremy Tunsil. Tunsil.
Oh, shoot. Okay. On Tunsil.
Or I'll read it. You want me to read it?
Go ahead.
Luke Jokel, Luke Schmokel.
Okay. Bosa to the Ravens. Ronnie Stanley, seven to the 49ers. Elliott, still again to the Eagles. Hargraves to Tampa. Leonard Floyd to the Giants.
So then he's got, and then his next quarterback is, he's got at number 19, Paxton Lynch to the Buffalo Bills.
And then there's that, what's funny is after 19, and I think you and I have what, 17 through 24 is where I have it in my mock, and this is, again, just prior to seeing this, the run on wide receivers truly begins.
He's got 21 Treadwell, 22 Fuller, 23 Dotson, 24 Coleman.
Yep.
Boom, bang, ba, boom.
Boom, bang, bang.
A lot of people think Fuller's slipping in the second round lately. That's
32.
Kind of more
where do we draft?
32.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I don't know if he's too much of a one-trick pony for us, but he is a vertical guy, and we do need to get down the field. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll wrap up the first hour. Jason Locke and Fora coming up at 2 o'clock here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. The draft evolving clearly. Big, 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 big trade. The Rams now hold the first pick in the draft. And someone who's fired up for it, he's calling this the greatest day for the Browns, is our good friend. I think he's earned friend of the show status. Blanca in Bay Village. Blanca, how are you?
Men, good afternoon. And I just can't tell you how exciting this news is.
Why is this so good, Blanca?
This is putting us in the driver's seat. We have the number one pick. A king's ransom was paid for the pick before. If we wonk off, he's his. We now know our plan.
What if they take Goff?
Then you go ahead and you make your contingency plan if you want Wentz or you want to trade down. No matter what, it's all on us now. We're the decision maker.
That's what I did think that. I thought that this, and I also thought it drove up the value of our pick.
Absolutely.
Now, it is interesting. The Godfather, the man who birthed Cleveland Browns Daily from his loins, the notorious VIC, said that the Rams did this for Wentz, and the Browns will get the guy they wanted all along. Those were his words in Jared Goff. So I think if they take Goff, I do think it increases the value of this pick for the Wentz people out there. I really do. I think that this made our pick more valuable in a trade. I don't think it is more valuable if we only believed one guy was a franchise quarterback and he gets taken ahead of us. Then I don't think it's good for us. Then we're not as much in the driver's seat as I'd like to be. Let's go to Southern California right now, find out what the thought is out there. Jeff is on the phone. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Originally, when I heard it this morning, I was disappointed, but the more I think about it, I think they did us a favor, because I think it's been kind of 50-50 which way it could possibly go, and now the decision's made. It's the guy who's there, and I think it makes it a lot easier for everybody to get on board for the one guy. I would definitely go quarterback. The other thing I was thinking about was, this is not like it's Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. Either way, both of these guys, if you think about any quarterback's last 20, 30 years who's been a bust, you're talking about someone with character issues and poor work ethic. Both of these guys are hard workers, they're football junkies. They're all about competing and being great. I think we're good regardless. So I think we just need to relax, go with the guy that comes up, and either way, I'm ready to buy my 16 jersey or my 11 jersey. I'm good to go.
Let's go. Get somebody out here. Do we have the guys from earlier still? That's it? Okay. It is going to be an agonizing 2 weeks as information, because it was amazing. When this trade first happened, everybody said, Wentz. That's Goff. Nobody knows. The Rams know. I don't even know if the Rams do know.
And the interesting fact is, you know, just reading as I was kind of coming into Berea today, the fact that I think it's now been stated that the Rams won't divulge who they're going to take number one, but a contract could essentially be done in principle prior to the draft.
Absolutely.
If in fact, if it is Wentz or it is Goff, and if the Browns are then sold on taking the other quarterback, they could potentially have a contract also done in principle with who they're going to select number two overall, which takes a lot away from the NFL draft and the production that the NFL wants to create via television and there in Chicago.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – they're not going to let that out. They don't want that drama out. No. That's what you think?
I don't think they want it out. I think – well, in years past – and I want to go back, and this might have been old CBA, you know, when there were the can't misses number one overall picks like Cam Newton and Sam Bradford. Weren't there like, you know, day and a half before, like, contract negotiations were almost, they're in negotiations, or, you know, some deals were almost done in principle prior to their name being called?
Yes.
So
it's possible.
And they've gone away from that recently.
What Gibbs? All right, we're going to take a break. That's our first hour quickly in the books here. Let's get the latest on the pulse of the National Football League. This trade, he wrote an article about the Browns saying that Goff was their preferred guy. We're going to try to get all that information and much, much more when Jason Lockett IV, CBS Sports' NFL insider, joins us right after this.